Thank you for listening to the Ablaze Church Sermon Podcast. Our purpose at Ablaze is to love God, love others, follow Jesus, and tell others. If you are looking for a church home in the Tulsa area, we'd love to have you join us for worship on Saturdays at 6:30 p.m. or Sundays at 10:30 a.m. For more information, please visit our website at ablazechurch.org.
If you could change one thing in your life, what would you change? Now, there's a blank, there's a line. You can write that in. I'm not going to ask you to write it in right now, but what I want you to do is to start thinking about what should be changing in my life. And now, if you were to change something, what would it be? We look in the external world and say, oh, yeah, hey, if I could change something, I'd get rid of COVID right now. I'd say, stop in its tracks. No one else gets sick. It's not going to spread. Or maybe you say, I think we really ought to have an eight-day week, but you probably can't do that, can't change that. I want my boss to act a lot nicer than what he or she does. Now, these are items that really are outside of your control. So we got to look at something a little more personal, a little more interior and internal. And maybe on your wish list, I really wish I had more peace, maybe less stress, less regret in my life, maybe a greater sense of my personal freedom. Or with that, how about financial freedom, better relationships, more inner satisfaction in my life with myself, just to be happier? Or maybe say, well, I really need to have better health, so I better start working out and getting myself in shape. How about, I really ought to be more loving, more caring, more understanding, less judgmental, less irritable, less grumpy, less impatient, maybe becoming even more accepting of others. And maybe then I might be able to accept myself too. Sounds like a pretty big personality makeover. Change can be a little bit threatening. You know, I've tried to change a lot of these things and I haven't been always that successful. But in Jesus Christ, we can change. It can happen. Romans 12, 1 and 2 tells us that. And so we're going to go through several steps here. And the steps you have, you can put those things in your down in your notes. Don't wait for. What are you not going to wait for? Don't wait for the right time to do the right thing, which we tend to want to do. I'll do that when I get older, when I get retired, when I get this or that thing accomplished in my life, then I'm going to start doing it. But here's the thing, is that the longer you wait, the longer it takes. So we'll go to Romans 12, 1. We're going to repeat that. It says, and I'm going to go at a couple of phrases, by the mercies of God. Present your bodies as living sacrifice, which is your spiritual worship. Now I want you to look at that for a little bit. There's a verb in there, present. And it comes with a sense of urgency, like now. In fact, though it's an infinitive, it has kind of that imperative sense about it. Just do it. Don't talk about it. Just do it. And do what? Well, present your bodies. Present or a present, give your body over as a present, an offering, a sacrifice to the Lord. Now, who can offer sacrifices? Well, priests can offer sacrifices, and that's what you are if you are in Christ Jesus. You are part of the priesthood, so you are able to do that. And what are you to offer? Your whole body, which is actually, it's inclusive. Your mind, your emotions, everything about you, just present them. And as a living sacrifice, you put them on the altar, all right? So that would be your activities, your functions, everything given totally over, surrendered. And a sacrifice is something that consumes, because there are a bunch of things in our lives that need to be, we need to be rid of, Actually, they need to be burned up. They need to be consumed, which is what a sacrifice does. It consumes something. It takes the whole thing. Sacrifice. Now, to whom is it offered? It is offered, obviously, to God, because it really isn't yours to begin with. So hand it over, because you are not your own. You have been purchased. You've been bought with a price by the mercies of God, by the mercies of God. In view of Jesus offering himself as the real living sacrifice all the way to death for us. And that sacrifice was acceptable to God, and through him, our sacrifice becomes acceptable to God. And that constitutes a spiritual act of worship. Now, worship is not just going through some motions once a week when we get together, but your body is then as instruments of worship all the time, so that your whole life is actually an act, ongoing, 24/7 act of worship. Now, for that to happen, we got to go to step two, because we've got to unconform. It says, don't conform to what others think. Don't conform to the world around you. Now, to be conformed is to be shaped by something else other than being shaped by God. Yeah, there is a conformity to the image of Christ, but do not be conformed, it says, to the world, or to what other people are thinking, what other people are doing, what they may think about you. Now, it's very easy to get in step with the world, its outlook, its values, its ways, its patterns, but get out of step with the world and get in step with God. Again, Romans chapter 12, verse 2, part of that verse says, do not be conformed to this world. Now, let's clarify that a little bit. What does this world stand for? Well, it's not always good. There is a worldly mindset. We might say, oh yeah, the postmodern, relativistic, secular. What it really boils down to is pretending not to need God, pushing him out to the margins of life. Like, God really doesn't have anything to do with what I'm thinking, how I'm deciding things, what I'm doing. I just do what I want, you know. Truth is not respected. There are no absolutes, no real right or wrong. And the highest good in life is me, myself. So we got to go the opposite way, which takes us now to the third step. So the first was, don't wait for the right time to do the right thing. The second, don't conform to what others think. Now the third is, be transformed. Be transformed. It's a change from one state to another. It's not just the same old thing with some slight modification to it to avoid some embarrassment, but it is actually the renewal of our mind is what transformation is. Again, Romans 12, a part of verse 2. But be transformed by the renewal of your mind. Now, notice it doesn't say transform yourself, because we can't transform ourselves. We must be acted on by a power, a force that is outside of ourselves that has to enter in. And of course, that's God. If I could fix myself, then Jesus would not have had to come. Yeah, let's break this down a little bit further and see how this thing works. It goes from something to something. That's transformation. Part one is what we call conviction. Now, conviction has two parts. The first part is to be convicted of our sin. The second is a conviction, or being convinced of another truth that is even deeper and a higher truth. So, conviction, I am a sinner. I may be at times in step and in tune with the world, maybe even squeezed into its mold, but I realize, I think I've gotten out of step with God. So some of the things that I would take pride in maybe are evidences of a character defect, even incompatible with God. lead me into some kind of a frustration. You see, maybe if your thinking goes like this way, well, it really is all about me. It's just that no one else realizes that. Or, well, I'm just a stubborn old guy, and look out, I get mad, and then I get even. No one messes with me. Striving for power, striving for popularity, striving for approval. You know that my sinful nature and the sin-dominated world kind of have a magnetic attraction to each other. First comes a startling realization. That first realization that comes crashing through is, I'm not so wonderful. I'm a sinner. There's a sense of guilt, a sense of shame, almost terror. I know what I deserve. So I got to go to the man with the plan. Because the other conviction is to be convinced of a deeper truth than that. Equally surprising, grace, knowing what Jesus has done, and he did it for me. The offer of undeserved forgiveness, that when I trust that truth, I start to become transformed. Because the Bible tells me I am a new creation. If anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. And so, well, let's think about the living sacrifice. We have to go all the way back, though, into the Old Testament. There was a sacrifice system. When a person was guilty of sin, the person said, or it was told, you may offer an animal, and you may bring it to the place of sacrifice, to the temple, or before that, the tabernacle, and there is an altar there where it will be burned up. You bring that. But your guilt is transferred from you onto that innocent animal, and there is forgiveness for you through that sacrifice. Now, Jesus came to complete that. Jesus came to be the final, the ending sacrifice, the one that was for all time acceptable to the Holy Father, our Heavenly Father. And we then become the beneficiaries of a gift. And we are free then to offer ourselves not as something that's dead, oh yeah, dead to sin, but alive to God, a living sacrifice. Offer ourselves completely in love, in joy, and freedom. Now, that's the transformation that begins. Part one, we had the conviction of sin, being convinced of the truth of our salvation, the free gift of the grace of God. And so, of change, there's a change from being a lost sinner to now being a rescued saint. A total change of status, a transformation. But folks, it doesn't end here. There is another part of the transformation. Part two of the transformation is the cleanup. That's the renewal of the mind. You see, my position before God is I'm perfect. My condition day by day is I'm not so perfect. I kind of messed up. Takes a lot of repair, repurposing, renovation, remodeling, getting rid of habits and ways of thinking. Not only talking a new talk, but walking a new walk. Now, the Holy Spirit is given by God to walk with us through this and to help us. In fact, he is called the helper. So it's not a matter of, are we going to grind it out and really try? But it is by faith, not by works. And if we have to do it ourselves, it can be very frustrating. And it's just a lot of ineffective efforts. If Jesus said that the Holy Spirit is the helper, guess what he is? He's the helper. And as a matter of fact, he does all the heavy lifting for us. It's your declaration of dependence now on God and his grace. Because we have an independence from sin's tyranny, now our dependence. A kind of transformation that happens daily, for the rest of our lives, daily living, daily drowning that old man, daily a new life coming forth and arising, the divine work of the Holy Spirit renewing us day by day, renewing our mind. Yeah, life can be frustrating at times, maybe even unfulfilling, sometimes even maddening, and I just can't seem to get it. I'm not getting this thing under control the way it ought to be. And at times we make the wrong moves, we have these kind of hiccups along the way. Can you achieve your dreams, though, of walking with God and having the character of Jesus Christ by giving up? Only by trusting. Only by trusting in the truth can there be transformation. He can only transform that which is surrendered over to Him. If there is difficulty and you're still struggling with it, you say, you know, there might be areas that I have not surrendered. Because what is surrendered? He then takes care of that, and we can be a living sacrifice. Just don't go on the altar as a sacrifice and then crawl off again.